Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
All right, pop quiz listeners, and Emily Bazelon from Slate. Emily, you there?
I'm here.
Two of these names are actual super PACs. One is made up. You ready? Faith Family Freedom Fund, Renew the Flag, or Make Us Great Again. Which one's fake? The Faith Family Freedom Fund, Renew the Flag, or Make Us Great Again?
You know, the great thing about this is they all sound equally plausible to me, but I'm going to go with Renew the Flag.
Well, you figured out the whole point of the game, and you're right. I don't know how you did it, since they're all supposed
to... I was a lucky guess.
...sound equally plausible. Make Us Great Again, by the way, is the pro-Perry super PAC that made such a splash with his ad in Iowa bemoaning Obama's war on religion. Perry, who is going to officially drop out any minute now as the nation waits with bated breath for the exciting news conference, but we will dip in live a little bit once it starts, I think. All right, how about this one? Ready for another round? Restore Our Future, Common Sense 10, or the Resurrect Capitalism Coalition. Again, Restore Our Future, Common Sense 10, or the Resurrect Capitalism Coalition. Which one is fake?
Okay, I know Restore Our Future is real, and I really want the capitalism one to be real, so I'm going with Common Sense 10.
However, it is the Resurrect Capitalism Coalition that was made up. I guess you know Restore Our Future is the pro-Romney super PAC that went so hard after Newt in Iowa and New Hampshire. And I think Common Sense 10 is a liberal one, but I would actually have to check that. So there you go. But why are we doing this, folks? Because super PACs are getting a lot of attention lately for their role in the complete media blitz taking place in early primary states. And one thing that we've learned is they all seem to be named in these comically, generically vague, patriotic terms. So our politics site, It's a Free Country, is poking fun at that a bit with our new Super PAC name generator, a tool that lets you come up with great names for your made-up super PAC. That's where we got Renew the Flag and Resurrect Capitalism Coalition, our two fake ones. So you can play it now at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehr Show or just go right to itsafreecountry.org. And if you want to call in, listeners, and tell us what you're naming your super PAC, feel free, 212-433-WNYC. 433-9692. Meantime, Emily is here really to talk about the real-life impact of these super PACs in the 2012 race. So, well, I guess I should give you a shot first because we tweeted you the link to the name generator earlier, and I guess you've been playing around with our tool. So have you come up with a name for your super PAC yet?
Yes. Mine is going to be called a Joyous Capitalism Coalition.
It sounds ecstatic.
Yeah, exactly. It has rapture in it.
And what do you make of the naming of these PACs? Seriously, is it intentionally bland so as to hide their true motives?
It's intentionally bland because there's no reason to be anything else. And, you know, what these super PACs really are is a replacement for the political parties as the main conduit for these large, often secret contributions. And so once you have these supposedly independent groups, and we should talk about what independent means in a minute, but then, you know, they can name themselves. And they can't call themselves the Mitt Romney Super PAC, or actually they could, but the whole idea is to be cloaked about it.
And we'll talk in a minute about the Stephen Colbert Super PAC, but he is very much making fun of both the role of super PACs themselves and the names. So take a listen to an ad that his super PAC is running right now in South Carolina.
You can't turn on the TV these days without seeing some negative attack ad. It's enough to make you sick. Americans for a Better Tomorrow Tomorrow knows we deserve better. Donate today. And we'll destroy both these guys and their super PACs with a merciless ad torrent so fierce they wish they'd never been incorporated. An orgy of pure distortion leaving nothing behind.
It says it all. And that, again, the Colbert super PAC is called Americans for a Better Tomorrow tomorrow. And I think they've now actually changed the name to the Definitely Not Coordinating with Stephen Colbert Super PAC.
Right. I mean, the genius of this whole shtick, and it is really great, is to point out the ludicrousness of these supposed limits we have. We're left with a system in which people can give as much money as they want. They can do it essentially without disclosure, because the disclosure, if it happens, will be after the election is long over. And all that's left is this supposed rule against coordinating. And yet, you know, by acting out with Jon Stewart, as Colbert did, what that anti-coordination rule really boils down to, he showed that it's meaningless. You just say on public television, you know, to everybody what you want your super PAC to do, and then it's not coordinating.
So this actual super PAC that Colbert set up, because he formed an actual exploratory committee in South Carolina, blurring the line between what's real and what's fake, on the so-called independents, and we've played this clip before, Colbert was brought on for something that was either a comedy shtick or an actual interview, I'm not sure which, on ABC This Week with George Stephanopoulos. He said this about the independence of his super PAC.
I can't tell Americans for a Better Tomorrow tomorrow what to do. It's not my super PAC, George. It's the super PAC of, I hope I'm pronouncing this correctly, Jon Stewart.
I know I've never heard of that guy, Jon Stewart.
Right, exactly. So what I really love the most about Colbert, what he's pointing out, so the Supreme Court in 2010 issued this ruling, Citizens United, which has created the opportunity for these super PACs and scrambled what we used to think the rules were for campaign finance. And one of the primary justifications that Justice Kennedy gave in Citizens United was this idea that the court had concluded that independent expenditures don't give rise to corruption or the appearance of corruption. So, you know, he defined independent as spending that's not done directly by the candidate, and that's what super PACs do, i.e., there's no way a super PAC and the contributors to that super PAC can be trying to curry favor with the candidate and can have any kind of notion they might be rewarded in some way. I mean, and the way that we know all of this is they're not allowed to coordinate, except that not being allowed to coordinate means that Colbert and Stewart can get on national television and call the lawyer who represents both Colbert as a candidate or an exploratory candidate and the super PAC and ask him all these questions, and the lawyer can answer, and it's all hunky-dory under our crazy campaign finance law.
All leading to moments like this that aren't even intended to be fake or a mockery. Newt Gingrich sending a coded message through the media for changes to be made in his own PAC's anti-Romney film. Listen.
I'm calling on the super PAC. I cannot coordinate with them. I cannot communicate directly, but I can speak out as a citizen talking to you. I'm calling on them to either edit out every single mistake or to pull the entire film.
Huh?
Right. And Gingrich's super PAC, we know, has a $5 million contribution from a friend of his named Sam Adelson. The notion that Gingrich wouldn't feel in any way indebted or grateful to Sam Adelson, and that somehow what Adelson did is independent and has nothing to do with the Gingrich campaign, I mean, it's just silly.
Has anyone ever been fined or gone to jail for violating the rules about coordination?
Nobody has ever gone to jail because there are no criminal penalties. The Federal Election Commission, which is responsible for this coordination rule, has investigated three times in the last decade, and the biggest fine they levied that I can find is in the 20,000s. I mean, this is just a slap on the wrist. And the reason they very rarely investigate is you need a smoking gun. You need to find an email trail from the candidate to the super PAC that says, hey, can you make this kind of ad? And most people are smart enough to cover up their tracks if they're doing that.
And the FBI has better things to do. And by the way, Jon Stewart pointed out on Tuesday night, if you saw The Daily Show, that if you do get fined, you can pay for it from your super PAC money.
Exactly. I mean, there's just this odd circuity going on here that really points up that we essentially have opened the door to a money free-for-all in politics, in which people can give as much money as they want, and they don't even really have to worry about disclosure, at least not in real time. So that little thing that used to appear in the ad, you know, paid for by Sam Adelson, paid for by George Soros, that's not even there anymore.
Emily Bazelon, senior editor at Slate, and one of the co-hosts of their weekly podcast, the Slate Political Gabfest. I wonder, though, if Citizens United has become a bit of a bogeyman in this whole super PAC discussion. We say this is the Citizens United era and look what it's doing. But super PACs existed before that ruling, and they would probably continue to exist without it, correct?
Well, PACs certainly existed beforehand, but this notion of these unlimited gifts is since Citizens United. Now, you're right, it doesn't come directly from the ruling itself. That actually comes from a follow-up appeals court ruling by the D.C. Circuit. So they took their own step. And then there's also the FEC, the Federal Election Commission, has its own share of the blame. It's now in this three Republicans, three Democrats deadlocked position where they couldn't even agree to, you know, look again at their own regulations post-Citizen United. And that means that in particular, these disclosure requirements, which Citizens United made a big deal out of, they're not operating in any way that they really work to, you know, add some sunshine here. So there is a bigger picture of responsibility. And the other point to make is Congress could fix some of this if it had the political will to do that.
Now, Emily, since you're here, you get the absolute treat of listening along with me to Rick Perry dropping out of the race. He's holding his news conference and announcement right now. He just endorsed Newt Gingrich. He said, Newt is not perfect, but who among us is? So let's listen to just a minute or two of Rick Perry as he quits the presidential race.
So I will leave the trail, return home to Texas, wind down my 2012 campaign. And I will do so with pride, knowing I gave fully of myself of a cause worthy of this country. As I head home, I do so with the love of my life by my side, a woman who makes every day good when she is there by me. And that's my wife, Anita.
All right. And with a short peck, Rick Perry gets ready to leave the presidential race. In his earlier remarks, Emily, he said, what's broken is not our people, it's politics, whatever that means. Anybody can take any slap at politics they want if they don't get specific. He said what we need in D.C. is a humbler, smaller government. No surprise there. Are you surprised he endorsed Newt Gingrich?
I mean, he really had two choices, Gingrich or Santorum, and Gingrich is the person who seems to have a little more momentum right now and who has more power. So if you're thinking, as Perry might have been, about, you know, what might you get out of this endorsement, I would say that Gingrich is the better bet.
And are you surprised to see Gingrich now making his second surge of the presidential season? I thought everybody only got one turn to be the not Mitt, but Gingrich seems to be getting his second turn right now. The new poll I saw on Politico today has Romney at 37%, Gingrich at 30% in South Carolina, and everybody else way, way behind.
Because I just think Newt Gingrich is unelectable. I feel like we talked about this a few weeks ago, and I've been saying this at Slate for a while, so maybe it's all just to prove me totally wrong. But he carries so much baggage as a candidate. And on the other hand, I think that Rick Santorum, despite his showing in Iowa, which now apparently he even kind of won Iowa, although weirdly there's now no winner to the Iowa caucus as of today. But in any case, Santorum just doesn't seem to be getting the kind of money and organizational backing behind him that would really push Gingrich down. And so here he is again, thanks to these negative ads that his super PAC has been running against Mitt Romney.
Yes, please don't confuse him and his super PAC. Well, what does it actually mean to win Iowa? You know, if Romney won by 5 votes, or a recount shows that Santorum won by 5 votes, or there's some missing, you know, black box that's showing up from some farming town that nobody ever knew had a ballot box, doesn't it mean if Romney won by 5 votes that they each get about half the delegates, and if Santorum won by about 5 votes, it means they each get about half the delegates?
Less than that, because in the end, the delegates can change their minds later. They haven't even had their convention yet. And I think that the last time around, even though McCain lost in Iowa, he ended up with all of the delegates because, you know, that happened later. There is this weird way in which Iowa is this incredibly important political ritual that has absolutely no practical impact.
Well, it's the big Mo, right? Momentum for future primaries. which we did not apparently see work for Santorum. I don't know. Maybe if he had been declared the winner instead of the loser by five votes, it would all be different for him in South Carolina today, and he would be the not Mitt. But I don't think so.
Probably not, although there have been a million and one news articles and commentators who've said Romney won Iowa and New Hampshire. Nobody's ever pulled off that double victory, and he has so much momentum because of that going into South Carolina that he's inevitable.
Let's get back to super PACs for a minute, which is where we started. Comment on our webpage says, make sure you talk about Priorities USA. Do you know whose super PAC that is?
I don't, but you're going to tell me.
It's Barack Obama's.
Yes, now that you say that, I guess that I do vaguely remember that. But it's impossible to keep these names in your head, isn't it?
Yes, but the point being, it's not just the Republicans who are getting all the attention now. The President of the United States, with all his fundraising clout, and he's going to be in New York tonight, I gather, doing four separate fundraisers, and all his just non-fundraising clout, other kinds of clout, is going to have Mondo Super PAC support himself going forward, whether we like Citizens United or not.
That's absolutely true. And it's also true that the labor unions, which do rail against Citizens United, are also forming their own super PACs. Everybody's playing this game. And I'm not sure what choice they really have, but it has meant that President Obama has lately been pretty silent on his problems with Citizens United.
Stephen Greenhouse, who generally writes from a pro-labor stance at the New York Times, said this: Citizens United effectively ended a prohibition on outreach to non-union households. Now unions can use their formidable numbers to reach out to sympathetic non-union voters by knocking on doors, calling them at home, and trying to get them to polling places. They can also create their own super PACs to underwrite bigger voter identification and get out the vote operations than ever before. Unquote. And this was the argument that Republicans have been making all along. Unions spend just as much on campaigns as anyone.
It's true. They're an important force. And this allows them to marshal their own funds in exactly the direction they want them to go. So one of the questions is whether unions who are really interested and worried about state and local laws and support right now will funnel more of their money in that direction as opposed to the national races.
Well, I guess we're going to end it here. What happens to the to that super PAC, Make Us Great Again? This is the Rick Perry super PAC called Make Us Great Again. Are they now free to start making schmaltzy ads for whoever they want?
Yes, they can. They don't have to support Rick Perry. I mean, they have to okay it with their donors, presumably. Well, even probably not. I mean, you know, plausibly, if people have given you money for Rick Perry, they might be mad at you if you spent it on someone else, but you can go back and check in with them and do something else.
And by the way, as people have been going to our Super PAC name generator on itsafreecountry.org, some of the ones that have been coming in, the Sanguine Capitalism Herd, Augment Cowboys, Start Bombing Everyone Else Super PAC, Beef Up Chill Time, and the Encourage Astronauts Coalition.
I'm trying to think which is the most likely one for Ron Paul. I think everything would work except for stop. Well, no, he would like stop bombing everyone else. He would go stop instead of start, right?
Yes, he would. And, of course, you know, they would never. Nobody would ever have an Encourage Astronauts Coalition super PAC because it's way too specific. It just has to say, you know, for the good of the future.
I think you should stick with that, Brian.
I will. Emily Bazelon, senior editor at Slate. You can also hear her weekly on their Slate Political Gabfest podcast. Thanks a lot.
Thanks so much.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC coming up next. Paula Deen and the Junk Food Pharmaceutical Industrial Complex. Stay tuned.